Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing to teach on how to receive God's best. And the very first thing we talked about is that most people aren't looking for God's best. They've learned to settle for less, and as long as you'll settle for less, that's what you'll get. And then I also talked about that you have to receive it. God's already given it. God's already done His part. It's not about petitioning God. It's about learning to receive God's best. And then we begin to contrast that there are two ways that God can release His power into your life, and one is through a miracle, and one is through a blessing. Now, most Spirit-filled people who believe in miracles, they just embrace miracles and think that this is God's best. But I was trying to show that actually a blessing is superior to a miracle. We contrasted three different things. Before you can get a miracle, you have to have a crisis situation. Because by definition, a miracle is a superseding or a suspension of natural laws. And God created all of the natural laws and spiritual laws. And He is not prone to violate those laws. He created them. And when He created everything, He looked at it and says, it's good. But we do get into trouble. There are times that people come against us, that things happen, and sickness and poverty and different things. And if you're in a crisis situation, God can do something miraculous outside of the natural. But it's not going to happen unless you're in a crisis situation. And a blessing will actually prevent a crisis. We also showed that a miracle is only temporary. And I've spent a lot of time talking about that. Whereas a blessing, once it's given, it cannot be reversed. I've yet to really explain that in its fullness. I'll be making a bigger point out of that. But that is a major deal. That once you get the blessing of God going, it just snowballs. It increases. It builds up momentum. But a miracle, if you, say, for instance, aren't cooperating with the natural laws of work, and if you don't work, you don't eat. And if you aren't cooperating with spiritual laws of giving and believing God to be your source and having God multiply it back, if you aren't operating in those, within those laws, the blessing of God isn't going to work. You're going to be in a crisis situation. You're going to need a miracle. And God can supply your need miraculously. But if He does, it'll only be temporary. And then next month, you're going to need another miracle. It's not a long-term solution. It's just a temporary fix. Whereas the blessing of God is a long-term solution. It's actually much, much better. And the last thing I contrasted between a miracle and a blessing is that a miracle is never abundant. It's just enough to get you by, whereas a blessing is so abundant, it's more than you can receive. It says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, "Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you do not have room enough to receive." The blessing of God is just super abundant. It's overflowing. Whereas a miracle is going to be enough to get you by, but you will be in need again. And so I did all of those things to show that, yes, miracles are wonderful if you're in a situation where you are in a crisis and you've got to have a miracle. Well, then praise God, receive one. But you know what? It's actually better to get to a place to where you never need a miracle. If you would learn to cooperate with the laws of God, both natural and spiritual laws, you could get to a place where in your body you never get sick. That's better than doing things that abuse your body. You wear yourself out. You're stressed out or whatever and all of these things. And because of it, you have problems. But then you run to the Lord and you pray and you get a miracle. But see, if you don't deal with the root that caused these physical problems, it's something else is going to crop back up. And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people watching this program right now that this is the way you live your life. You aren't walking in the joy of the Lord. You aren't operating in peace. You aren't honoring authority. And all of these things that say, the Scripture says that those things produce long life. And there are people that are missing it in these areas. And because of it, they're having all kinds of problems. And they go to God and they receive a miracle. But then something else crops up because there is a root in your life that isn't right. And you've got to get that uprooted. You got to start walking in joy and peace, etc. Let me just use one scripture over here. In Proverbs chapter 17, it says in verse 22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Now, this is an amazing passage of scripture. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And, you know, I've read some things that your bones are where you produce your marrow and you produce your blood cells. And there's a lot of things that you could say that affects right there. And a broken spirit, this is talking about depression, discouragement, fear, anxiety, worry, these kind of things. It dries the bones and it has a physical effect on you. You know, I don't think most of us have to go to some kind of a scientific thing to get this verified. If you just look around, people who operate in joy, a merry heart does good like a medicine. You can look at some of these comedians like George Burns, who drank, who smoked a cigar nearly every day of his life and did these things that the world will tell you is so bad for your health, and yet he lived, I think, to be 103 and was in very good health up until the very end. My mother was a person that she never liked vegetables. She didn't like those kind of things. She ate what most people would consider junk food. She lived to be 96 and was very healthy until about the time of 94. And I mean, how does this work? According to some people, see, they only look at things from a humanistic standpoint. That means they're always trying to find some physical, organic reason for things. And they don't understand that people are not just a physical body. We have an emotional, spiritual part to us. And this scripture says that a merry heart does good like a medicine. It talks about a merry heart affects your physical body. It also says over in Exodus chapter 20 that you're supposed to honor your father and mother that you may live long upon the land. And in Ephesians, it says that this is the first commandment with the promise. In other words, it's the first of the Ten Commandments that says if you will do this, here's the results. And it says you will live long on the land. And so the scripture here says that if you honor your father and mother. And I don't think that this is just limited only to father and mother, but it's talking about if you respect authority, if you don't have a rebellious attitude, did you know what? It tends to long life. And it's amazing to me how that you have all of these researchers that are trying to find out what is the secret to people's health and longevity, and they never evaluate any spiritual or emotional things. They look at people like we're just a hunk of meat. I believe it goes back to the fact that most people do not recognize we are created in the image of God. They have this worldview that we are just an evolved animal. They think that evolution caused all of this instead of God. They see us as just an evolved and elevated animal, and they're looking for some physical, natural reason. So they will go look at people like in Japan or something who have a long life, one of the lowest heart problem rates in the world. And instead of looking at the fact that they reverence, I mean, even to the point of worshiping ancestors, which I think is over the top, but nonetheless, they do honor their father and mother. The Lord says that produces long life. But you will never hear them do that. They'll go over and find people like this and they'll say, well, they have a diet that's rich in fish, and it has all of these omega oils and different things. And they will look and try and find something physical and natural. They will look at their diet and at their exercise program and ignore the fact that they honor the elders, that they honor each other. Like during the recent earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan and so much devastation, one of the things that stood out to me was they didn't have the looting and the things going on that we would have seen in America and in most Western countries. And you know why? Because they honor each other. Honor over there is a big thing. And because of it, I think that that contributes to their longevity. And I know that there's people watching this that say, well, you're a preacher. You don't have any right to say stuff like this. I do too, because the Word of God says you honor your father and mother, which again, I don't think is just limited to them, but you honor people. You operate in respect. And you know what? It promotes long life. this self-centered attitude where you think you are the center of the universe and everything revolves around you, and you don't respect anybody's rights or privileges, and it's all about you getting your way and you just doing your thing. That lack of respect hurts you physically. Not having joy in your heart hurts you physically. But on the positive side, a merry heart does good like a medicine. You know, this is just andiology. I don't have a scripture to stand on, but based on my study of the scripture, here's my opinion. That I think that your diet and exercise is important, but it produces, I don't know, I'm just pulling this number, but I believe it produces like 20 or 30% of your health is related to diet and exercise. I think that much more important than that is whether or not you have joy in your heart, whether you are rejoicing, because it does good like a medicine. If you are honoring other people and operating in respect and walking humbly with your God, which is putting other people, and you respect them and you don't exalt yourself above everybody else, but you think about other people and you do things to bless other people. You know what? That produces long life. And I believe that those things are like 70 or 80% of your health is related to that. So the reason I'm saying all of this is that, see, here are some spiritual laws that a lot of people don't take into account. And they operate in this selfishness. They don't respect other people. It's all about them. They promote themselves and they're in strife. The Bible says in James 3:16, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And so they're in strife, and that just opens up the door to every evil work. That opens up the door to cancer. That opens up the door to diabetes and other things. Yes, I believe that your diet and exercise has something to do with it, but spiritual, emotional things are also important. And there's people that ignore these laws, and because of that, they have all of these physical things. I've read a number of articles about the depression suppresses your immune system and makes you more vulnerable to just natural things that other people are resistant to. If you're depressed, your immune system is also depressed. And because of this, they are in these crisis situations and they have to have a miracle. Well, you can live from crisis to crisis because you're violating these spiritual laws. You're selfish. You're promoting yourself. You're rebellious. You're sad. You're depressed. You're stressed out. And if you live that way, well, then you're going to have to live from miracle to miracle. But a better way is to recognize that there are spiritual and emotional laws given to us in the Word of God. And if we would begin to do these things and cooperate in it, then the blessing of God would begin to flow. And as you rejoice in the Lord are thankful to Him for all of the abundance of things that He's done, it has physical effect and it can actually prevent sickness and disease. There's a lot of people that don't think that you can prevent sickness. They just wait on it to hit and then they run to God and ask for help. But, you know, I've been healthy basically for 43 years. I've been sick one time, and that was through stupidity because I just nearly did myself in. I did too much, and I just got weak. But, you know what? I have lived a life free from all of the stuff that a lot of people go through. And prior to my faith in the Lord and my beginning to believe for healing, I used to get sick all of the time. I missed a lot of school when I was a kid, because I was sick just like anybody else. And so what I'm saying is it's not just my genes that somehow or another I just don't get sick. Prior to me believing God, I used to have sickness just like anybody else, and now I don't. And it's because you can actually get the blessing of God flowing and it will prevent sickness in you. Over in Psalms chapter 91, all of those verses in Psalms 91 are powerful, but part of it is it says that no plague will come nigh your dwelling, that you will see 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you see and behold the reward of the wicked. See, those are blessings. God spoke this. This is available. It doesn't operate automatically. You have to believe it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, the word was preached unto them the same as it was preached unto us, but the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. God has spoken blessings over us, such as in Psalms chapter 91, that no plague would come nigh our dwelling. It'd only be with our eyes that we would see it. We wouldn't experience it, that we could be set apart and that we wouldn't have these things come at us. God has spoken that, but not everybody believes it. And if you don't believe it, it doesn't just come to pass automatically. We have to embrace it to see this come to pass. But you can get to a place to where instead of just letting the devil beat you up and you have all of these crises in your life, and then you go to the Lord and you have to have a miracle where He supersedes His natural and spiritual laws. In other words, you have been, it says here again in Proverbs chapter 17, a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit, depression, worry, care, unforgiveness, all of these kind of things, they affect you physically. And so you aren't cooperating with God. You aren't walking in the victory that He has. And because of it, you are in a crisis and you need a miracle. And God loves you and you can receive a miracle. But it's going to be just enough to get you over the hump. It'll crop up someplace else. And I tell you, there are people that are just fighting the devil off. And it's just, you know, putting out fires one after the other. If they solve this problem and something else comes up and you just can't understand what's going on, it's because you aren't cooperating with natural and spiritual laws. And because of that, Satan is coming in and he's just eating your lunch and popping the bag, and you have to have a miracle every time. I'm telling you that that is not the way that God wants you to live. You can live in the blessing of God, but to do that, you are going to have to learn spiritual and natural laws. For instance, in the area of finances, there are people that do not work. And the Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says that if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, there's people that are going to, you know, this is really counterculture. And there are people that are going to criticize me over this. But listen before you reject what I'm saying. There's always somebody that has an exception. There's always somebody that has some kind of a unique situation. But I'm telling you that the vast majority of people who are struggling financially and are on welfare in something like this, they could work. Now, there's going to be exceptions, and I think that anybody could be in a situation that for a brief period of time, they could use help. But I'm saying that this whole culture that we've developed where there are second and third generation welfare people, you are violating the Word of God. It says that if you don't work, don't eat. And so, you know, if you're violating that law, and then it says that you have to give and it shall be given unto you. Luke 6:38, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. It talks about that you sow and you reap only what you sow out of Galatians chapter 6. That if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. That's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And there's other laws. But see, these are some of the natural and spiritual laws. If you aren't working, if you aren't giving and tithing and trusting God with your finances, then you aren't going to see the blessing of God come to pass in your life, because you have to learn to cooperate with natural and spiritual laws to walk in the blessing of God. And that doesn't mean that God hates you. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. But you are going to come into financial problems. And then you cry out to God, and because God loves you, you can receive a miracle. I've certainly been there. You know, when I first got started in ministry, I don't know that I can blame anybody for this. I heard other people say that if you are called to the ministry, that you're sinning against God if you go and work a secular job. If you're called to the ministry, then minister and trust God. And I heard people say that. I don't know exactly how they meant it, but the way I took it was that, I mean, it was just it was the equivalent of like going and committing adultery. Amen. I wasn't going to do that. I was called to the ministry, and I wasn't going to go work a secular job. And yet when I first got started, I was ministering to 5 people a week. I couldn't expect to live full-time of the gospel when I was only preaching part-time. I should have gone out and have supplemented, and it would have worked. I wasn't cooperating with the Scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that if you don't work, don't eat. Now, I was giving, and I was doing some of this, but the main thing, I wasn't working when I should have been working, and because of it, Jamie and I struggled. And you know what? I couldn't understand what was going on. But because I loved God and because God loved me and because I was believing with everything I had, we had miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, we would get money in the mail in an envelope, cash money with no return address and just cash. That's really not the best way to do it. And we would just have money appear. We would have the doorbell ringing. We'd go to the doorbell and there was sacks of groceries on the porch. And we'd look and there was nobody around, nobody running away, nobody driving away. I don't know how it happened. We'd go to the store and we would get three sacks full of groceries with $7. Now, this was a long time ago, but that was a miracle back then. We had meat. I don't know how it happened. God just multiplied things. We had our food multiply supernaturally. When we didn't have enough to eat, we would pray over it, and God would multiply it. I ran out of gas because I didn't have enough money for gas, and I'd lay hands on my car. And that, I remember once that I drove over a week after my car had coasted to a stop out of gas. I prayed over it, and God just supernaturally made that car run for a week. And it was a miracle. And you know what? I've received it. But man, that was not the way to live. And it was because I wasn't cooperating with natural and spiritual laws. God loved me. I loved Him. But I struggled because I couldn't operate in the blessing of God when I was going contrary to what His Word instructed me to do. I wasn't doing it maliciously. It was through ignorance or through deception. But nonetheless, if you are going to walk in the blessings of God, you're going to have to start cooperating with the natural and the spiritual laws that God created. You cannot just eat junk food, never exercise, be stressed out, bitter and angry and all of these things and prosper in your physical health. You're going to have to cooperate with natural and spiritual laws to start walking in the blessing of God. And I tell you, the blessing is infinitely better than living a life to where you're violating these things because of it. Satan has access. You're either sick or you're poor or you're stressed out, and you believe God and you get a miracle, but then you need the same miracle next month. It's just you deal with one thing, something else crops up. That is not the way that God wants us to live. There is a better way to live. And that's what I'm talking about, is about how to receive God's best and telling you that you can walk in the blessing of God. But it takes effort to walk in the blessing. You have to do some things. You have to seek God. You have to cooperate with His instructions. If you are going to receive the blessing of God, you are going to have to start getting out of this mentality where you do your own thing, get into a crisis and receive a miracle, and you're going to have to start cooperating with God's laws. Boy, this is powerful. We are now on the third teaching in a 5-part set that I have entitled How to Receive God's Best. And this third teaching is entitled The Blessing of God. And this is our free gift to you. We are offering the album for a gift of any amount. And we encourage you to give. But if you could not or would not give anything, we'll give this third teaching in this 5-part set to you as a gift. My partners have enabled me to do that. So listen to our announcer as he gives you this information and call or write today and receive this teaching. Then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Blessing of God, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship conference this week, June 15th through the 17th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Caris Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.
A rusty nail nearly destroyed this young man's life.
We got to admit you to the hospital right away. We think it's best to amputate your leg as soon as possible, maybe even within the hour. I felt like, no, this is not the thing to do. So I talked to the doctor. I was like, is there any other way?
Massive doses of IV antibiotics and pain meds. Months in a medically induced coma. An active athlete and musician confined to a wheelchair and crutches. Witness Wednesday morning's miracle. Don't miss it. Log on to www.awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Ministry News and discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.